glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you.
Reading from James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, February 28th, 2022, the last day of February. So tomorrow we'll say happy March. Looking forward to March. In fact, on the 26th of March, we're having our grand opening open house. You're all invited. We'll have food, fun, festivities, treats, prizes, giveaways. You don't want to miss it. And there's no RSVP or anything. Just show up to Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Look for our Great News Media sign on the outside wall. We're right between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. And we'll accommodate as many people as show up. So we'll see how it all works together. But it'll be from 1 to 4 p.m. on March 26th. So I guess basically 26 days away. Well, as you know, on Mondays, we oftentimes read from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. I guess it's been about 5 or 6 weeks that we've been in this book. Marianne generally joins me, but the last few weeks I read from our home studio. Marianne wasn't feeling well 1 week, and I can't remember the circumstances, but today I'm in the Springfield studio, and I have a special guest, so it's going to be a blend of a Testimony Tuesday and then our reading from this book. And as you may know, we started with, if you want to maximize your impact, prioritize your prayer life. We talked about prayer as the most important task of a spiritual leader, that prayer is the most influential activity a leader can undertake. Prayer saves time. How many of you can testify to that, that after you prayed through something, you got some insight and things went more efficiently or better or turned out well because you had prayed? We've talked about prayer is omnipresent, prayer is the determining factor, and then last week, prayer provides insight, and God does nothing in ministry apart from prayer. Well, today we're going to read about prayer is our greatest spiritual weapon, pray or quit, and why not? So stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes, but on this special day, I'm in the Springfield studio. I love driving here and meeting with the staff. And I have a friend in Springfield. In fact, Peter, how long have you lived here in Springfield?
I would imagine, I think it's been about 10 years or so.
10 years, and primarily because of your calling as a physician, as a doctor. You work at Springfield Memorial Hospital, and you've served there. Did you do an internship there? And then they said, hey, this guy, we don't want to let go. We want to hire and have as our, one of our physicians on hand?
Well, so I'm with SIU, and I work primarily in the hospital as a hospitalist, but I also do work at SIU Family Medicine.
Okay. And I've known Peter. Gosh, it's kind of interesting, since you were a little guy, but you've never been a little guy. You've been, what, 6 feet, 7 inches tall or something, you and your brother, very tall. And we've been to Israel a couple times together on various trips. You've sang with the Singing Men of GNN.
And I've done lots of yard work for you.
Lots of yard work. You've done some radio volunteering and assisted. Both your parents, Jim and Nancy Miller, serve on our radio board, and so we appreciate the whole family. Your brother, Paul, he also sang with the Singing Men of GNN and has volunteered and helped and also been on trips to Israel with us, and appreciate the whole Miller clan. So this is Dr. Peter Miller. I think maybe that's the first time I've introduced you as Dr. Peter Miller.
Yeah, you didn't have to either.
Yeah. Humble and very reluctant to be a part of the broadcast, which is my favorite kind of interview, Peter. I always talk about it that you're like, oh, are you sure? What do you want me to say? You know, I love the Lord. Yes, I love God's word. I attend church. I'm a follower of Jesus. But what are you going to ask? And I said, oh, Peter, it'll all work out. It'll be God honoring. And we're going to read from this book and we're going to play a song. So you don't have to say a whole lot, but I've known you since about 15, when you came back from Japan.
That's correct. I would have been 15.
15 years old, and you're 36 now, and so I guess, yeah, that's
21 years.
21 years. Thank you for the math.
No problem.
And so thank you for being available. You live here in Springfield. In fact, you're almost a walk away, just a few minutes from the studio here. And we appreciate how you serve the residents throughout the Springfield area. I know you do so many different things at the hospital, and you have those crazy hours. I know there was a time period where you were working 70, 80, 90 hours.
That's a good week.
Yeah, that's a good week. Many physicians, they cut their teeth with interning and, you know, sleepless nights and on for 48, 72 hours, whatever it takes. And so it's kind of been a neat journey to pray through some of the different things you've had to do to achieve this, all the studies, all the, what's it called, practicum? What, when you actually get into the...
Are we talking after you get your license?
Yeah, after, or, yeah.
Well, so you go through medical school.
Okay, take me through some of this.
All right, well, anyway, you go to medical school, which usually is 4 years, and once you get that, you have a doctoral degree. So you're a doctor technically at that point. But then you go through a process called residency, which is anywhere from 3 to 7+ years, depending on what specialty you go into. After you do that, then you can become board certified in whatever your specialty is.
You're currently board certified?
That is correct.
And aren't you overseeing some things?
So basically, I supervise a lot of residents, both in the clinical as well as in the hospital environment.
And it's always great to have a friend that's a doctor, because I've called you on a few occasions.
That's
true. Hey, what do you think? Holly's experiencing this. What do you suggest? I drink my water. I rest up. I do follow doctor's orders, but appreciate Peter and our friendship these many years. And on this special day, we're going to both, I think, do some of the reading from this book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. But as we were talking about, well, let's have a song for today. And you suggested that one about, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm like, I'm not familiar with the song. And we quickly went to YouTube and found one. So you're going to hear, I think it's kind of like a choir and Jimmy Owens singing, but this is titled, If My People, and it's based on 2 Chronicles 7:14.
If my people, which are called by my
If My People by Jimmy Owens, the song based on 2 Chronicles 7:14. Kind of a soothing song for a Monday morning to get you started and grounded for the day, and hopefully you're blessed by those lyrics. And because our topic on Monday is about prayer, you know, God's Word is filled with so many different references on the importance of prayer and why we pray and who we're praying to. So prayer isn't just a laundry list of approaching God and saying, I need help with this, 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 this. this and do this, this, this. It's hearing from God. It's talking with Him. It's growing together. So we always encourage prayer because it builds that relationship that you can have with God. Now, we opened up the program, Peter, with a couple verses that you said were somewhat close to your heart. You loved the intent and the purposes of it. I'll read it again. It's out of James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It states, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault." So that's pretty evident what it's saying. Now, if we lack wisdom, we should ask God. So that's all about prayer. But then it goes on to say, "And it will be given to him, but when he asks," so that's one of those qualifiers, "but when you or I ask of God things, we must believe." The text reads, "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." Now, Peter, your parents are faithful followers of Jesus. Your grandparents were. You've been nurtured and grown up in the church, and you've seen them at work. But you were talking to me off air about the importance of praying and asking God for wisdom is one thing, but you almost have to foster that sense of faith, trusting that he will answer. Do you want to share just a little more what you're telling me about that?
Well, basically, it's very easy to have things that we want to come about, that we do pray for, but oftentimes it's easy to pray and not expect either an answer or for it to actually occur, you know? And so sometimes just having the faith to actually believe that God is listening and that he will answer, you know, sometimes the answer isn't always what we had anticipated or not necessarily the answer we wanted, but at least having faith that he will respond one way or another is important.
And I think Jesus has one of those parables or stories where if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, so it's not like you have to have it all down pat and totally understand it. He loves the faith of a child, just the innocence of saying, "God, you're pretty big. I know you can do this. Please do it," and then just leave the results to him. But having just that little nurturing point of faith, just a little bit of entertaining the idea he can do it, I think he does accomplish great things. So, yeah, it's a great verse, and thanks you for sharing that with me and our listeners. And we're going to now transition into our prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. In fact, Peter, I said that you get a free copy for coming and available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. I should also say I took advantage of Peter's height. He's like 6'7". And we were changing. There were some light bulbs out here in the studio, and it was kind of dark in this one area. And so I'm on my tiptoes reaching up trying to, I can almost get it in. And Peter just stands. He raises his arm. I said, "Okay, Peter, I'll hand you the bulbs, and you do that." So we replaced four bulbs, and we have good light in here. But good-looking All-American man here. And, yeah, I've watched you and Paul with all your basketball throughout the many years and your desire to be athletic and involved in sports and being 36 and single, gals. He's single. He's a doctor. He's a great catch. So anyways, call me and I can maybe set something up. No, anyways, I appreciate you and just your calling. It's hard being a doctor nowadays, especially during this COVID time and uncertainty and fear. And I know you deal with a lot of different people that they evaluate you and sometimes maybe unfairly because you say, "This is what you have to do. These are the meds. I'm not going to give you things that you're not supposed to have." And, you know, the pressure's on doctors to perform and appease the patient and yet also follow all the protocols and all the things that are important. And, you know, you have their overall best interest in mind. And sometimes they want to manipulate circumstances or situations because they want the drugs or the prescription or whatever. And so it's not an easy role to have.
No, and that's when prayer can be very useful.
Yes. I know sometimes the doctors in China, Holly and others have told me this, they'll sometimes wear like helmets because in China, like if they don't like the treatment that to some of the family members, they will fight, they will punch, they will attack. It's rather amazing. In China, they love the teachers. The teachers are super elevated, but the doctors, they're like, who cares about a doctor? Well, you don't quite have that yet here in Springfield.
No, thankfully not. I've only gotten threatened once and only kicked once.
Okay. So we're looking at our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And we'll begin with prayer is our greatest spiritual weapon. So I'm going to ask you to lead out with this section in this book, chapter 1.
Okay. So, subtitle, prayer is our greatest spiritual weapon. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to spiritual conflict. His record includes shipwreck, hunger, thirst, and severe floggings. 5 times he endured the brutal 40 lashes minus one. 3 times he was beaten with the Roman rods. Once he even endured a stoning. He wrote many of his letters from prison. In fact, in his letter to the Ephesian church, he explains the real source of the absurd level of adversity and opposition. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12. He went on to detail the believer's protection through the armor of God. Interestingly, he closes his discussion of spiritual warfare with an appeal to prayer. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. That's Ephesians 6, 18 and 19.
And I'm just going to jump in here, Peter, because you had no forewarning. You didn't get to see these words or read. You're doing really well. You didn't get to have this book yesterday and start previewing it and reading it and practicing. So great job. And again, I like how this is set up. Prayer is our great spiritual weapon. Listening friend, prayer isn't just that relationship with God or having him answer your laundry list, as we mentioned. You are doing spiritual battle when you pray, and there's oppositions that's going to thwart the things that you're trying to advance. Maybe it's a practice, maybe it's a new commitment you're making to follow the Lord or to read Scripture or to memorize Scripture for that matter. And there will be opposition that will try to thwart or derail or frustrate. And so one of the aspects of praying is praying expectantly, knowing that there is spiritual warfare going on.
No one has offered spiritual leadership for long without running into serious spiritual conflict. Effective leaders win the lost and reproduce themselves by equipping leaders to take ground from Satan, and he does not like it. Effective spiritual leaders recognize the necessity and power of prayer in spiritual warfare. We are hearing more and more accounts of church members and churches bound by demonic oppression. As the occult has become part of mainstream culture in America, notice the nature of the movies shown in theaters around Halloween, the strongholds of the enemy have increased and multiplied. We are seeing an increased level of satanic attack on spiritual leaders in North America. Again and again, I have listened as broken pastors and weeping spouses recount eerily similar tales of recurring nightmares, strange illnesses, and unexplainable opposition. More and more leaders, whose theological backgrounds don't usually recognize such things, tell me of wrestling with dark forces in spiritual settings. Spiritual leaders must pray to keep from being defeated by Satan's persistent attacks on them and on their churches. When it comes to spiritual warfare, to fail to pray is to fail altogether.
Yeah, I'm going to emphasize that and have you read that just one more time. Listen up, because this is appropriate for all of us.
When it comes to spiritual warfare, to fail to pray is to fail altogether. Satan will not let you simply plunder his kingdom. He will not just allow you to grow and multiply, evangelize and equip. He will fight you every inch of the way. We must not only pray to keep from losing ground, but also pray in order to take ground. On our own, we are not more powerful than the enemy, but we are when we pray. We can fight him successfully from our knees. We can march forward on our knees. Only one weapon will hold him off and push him back. It is the weapon of prayer. That is why we must pray without ceasing.
I think there's that statement that people say, you're never so high as when you're on your knees. You know, you kind of see that when we're on our knees, when we're praying, we're powerful.
As a missionary statement, S.D. Gordon, from 1859 through 1936, traveled to many of Satan's strongholds and gained a deep understanding of the vital power of prayer in spiritual warfare. He wrote, "In its simplest meaning, prayer has to do with conflict. Rightly understood, it is the deciding factor in the spirit, conflict. Prayer is man giving God a footing on the contested territory of this earth." Chuck Smith, 1927 on, understands the necessity of potential power of prayer for waging spiritual warfare. He has said, through prayer you can advance with the battering ram and demolish the strongholds the enemy has on those individual lives, freeing them from the power that holds them captive. Dick Eastman, 1946 to present, is the president of Every Home for Christ. This international ministry has a full-time staff of more than 1,200, plus more than 14,000 volunteer associates, has systematically distributed more than 2.4 billion gospel messages, house to house, in 196 nations of the world, resulting in more than 52.7 million decision cards being mailed to EHCs, many overseas offices, and the establishing of more than 111,000 village churches.
Well, that's one long paragraph, or that's one true. Long sentence. That's a huge sentence. I'm glad you were reading it.
All right. He understands leadership, prayer, and spiritual warfare, and elevates the importance of prayer in spiritual conflict. He writes, "Prayer is not so much another weapon on our list of weaponry as it is the actual battle. We need more men and women of God who will train in spiritual warfare and become mighty in prayer." A missionary leader, burdened by the gaping, desperate needs in our world, cried, "We seem to have 10,000 prayer amateurs for one true prayer warrior. Will you become a prayer warrior?"
You know, Peter, I think we're going to stop here because of the time. And I just want to comment on that closing couple sentences. We need more men and women of God who will train in spiritual warfare and become mighty in prayer. And I'm thinking, Peter, of some of the shut-ins, some of the people that are like, "I can't get out. How can I impact the world?" Well, their prayers, going into their prayer closet, getting on their knees from home, can have a huge impact. And we've talked about it in this book that our prayers can, if you will, influence the movement of God, which could impact any part of the world at any time. And so when we sincerely go to God and ask Him to work, or we intercede on someone's behalf, power is unleashed. And we leave the results and the mechanisms and the means that God will use to accomplish His will, but He desires and calls us to pray. And there's this element of spiritual warfare that's going on that we need to be cognizant of or conscious of and be mindful that there are powers and principalities that are warring against us, and we need to pray through them and pray for protection and pray for God's will to be achieved. So that's another reading from chapter one of Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We have editions of this book available at the Springfield studio here at 600 West Mason Street, and also at our new location at Marketplace Mall in Champaign, right between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. You'll see our sign, Great News Media. Stop in, and the books are $10, so we have a discounted price. I highly recommend it and hope you'll enjoy it and read along with us on Mondays. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you, Peter, for being a part of today's broadcast.
Oh, no problem.
This is Mark Burns and Peter Miller with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.